We're continuing Chapter 16 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. You remember Scrimgeour and Percy had just come to the Weasleys' house, and it was clear that Scrimgeour just wanted to talk with Harry. Like, that was the whole pretense for going to the house. So he just got Harry off to the side. Harry walked across the yard toward the Weasleys' overgrown, snow-covered garden, Scrimgeour limping slightly at his side. He had, Harry knew, been head of the Auror office. He looked tough and battle-scarred, very different from portly Fudge in his bowler hat. "Charming," said Scrimgeour, stopping at the garden fence and looking out over the snowy lawn and indistinguishable plants. "Charming," Harry said nothing. He could tell that Scrimgeour was watching him. "I've wanted to meet you for a very long time," said Scrimgeour after a few moments. "Did you know that?" "No," said Harry, truthfully. "Oh, yes, for a very long time. But Dumbledore has been very protective of you," said Scrimgeour. "Natural, of course, natural, after what you've been through, especially after what happened at the Ministry." He waited for Harry to say something, but Harry did not oblige, so he went on. "I've been hoping for an occasion to talk to you ever since I gained office, but Dumbledore has, most understandably, as I say, prevented this." Still, Harry said nothing, waiting. "The rumors that have flown around," said Scrimgeour. "Well, of course, we both know how those stories get distorted, all these whispers of a prophecy, of you being the chosen one." They were getting near now, Harry thought, the reason Scrimgeour was here. "I assume that Dumbledore has discussed these matters with you." Harry deliberated, wondering whether he ought to lie or not. He looked at the little gnome prints around the flower beds and the scuffed-up patch that marked the spot where Fred had caught the gnome, now wearing the tutu at the top of the Christmas tree. Finally, he decided on the truth, or a bit of it. "Yeah, we've discussed it." Have you, said Scrimgeour. Harry could see out of the corner of his eye Scrimgeour squinting at him, so he pretended to be very interested in a gnome that had just poked its head from underneath a frozen rhododendron. "And what has Dumbledore told you, Harry?" "Sorry, but that's between us," said Harry. He kept his voice as pleasant as he could, and Scrimgeour's tone, too, was light and friendly as he said, "Oh, of course, if it's a question of confidences, I wouldn't want you to divulge. No, no. In any case, does it really matter whether you are the chosen one or not?" Harry had to mull that one over for a few seconds before responding. "I don't really know what you mean, Minister." "Well, of course, to you it will matter enormously," said Scrimgeour with a laugh. "But to the wizarding people at large, it's all perception, isn't it? It's what people believe that's important." Harry said nothing. He thought he saw dimly where they were heading, but he was not going to help Scrimgeour get there. The gnome, under the rhododendron, was now digging for worms at its roots, and Harry kept his eyes fixed upon it. "People believe you are the chosen one, you see," said Scrimgeour. "They think you are the hero. Which, of course, you are, Harry, chosen or not. How many times have you faced he must not be named now? Well, anyway," he pressed on, without waiting for a reply. "The point is, you are a symbol of hope for many, Harry. The idea that there is somebody out there who might be destined to destroy he must not be named, well, naturally, it gives people a lift. And I can't help but feel that once you realize this, you might consider it, well, almost a duty to stand alongside the Ministry and give everyone a boost." The gnome had just managed to get hold of a worm. It was now tugging very hard on it, trying to get it out of the frozen ground. Harry was silent so long that Scrimgeour said, looking from Harry to the gnome, "Funny little chaps, aren't they? But what say you, Harry?" "I don't really understand what you want," said Harry slowly. "Stand alongside the Ministry? What does that mean?" "Oh, well, nothing at all onerous, I assure you," said Scrimgeour. "If you were to be seen popping in and out of the Ministry from time to time, for instance, that would give the right impression. And, of course, while you were there, you would have ample opportunity to speak to Gawain Robards, my successor as head of the Auror office. Dolores Umbridge has told me that you cherish an ambition to become an Auror. Well, that could be arranged very easily." Harry felt anger bubbling at the pit of his stomach. So Dolores Umbridge was still at the ministry, was she? So basically, he said, as though he wanted to just clarify a few points, you'd like to give the impression that I'm working for the ministry. It would give everyone a lift to think you were more involved, Harry, said Scrimgeour, sounding relieved that Harry had cottoned on so quickly. The chosen one, you know. It's all about giving people hope, the feeling that exciting things are happening. But if I keep running in and out of the ministry, said Harry, still endeavoring to keep his voice friendly, won't that seem as though I approve of what the ministry's up to? Well, said Scrimgeour, frowning slightly. Well, yes, that's partly why we'd like. No, I don't think that'll work, said Harry pleasantly. You see, I don't like some of the things the ministry's doing, locking up Stan Shunpike, for instance. Scrimgeour did not speak for a moment, but his expression hardened instantly. I would not expect you to understand, he said, and he was not as successful of keeping anger out of his voice as Harry had been. These are dangerous times, and certain measures need to be taken. You are 16 years old. Dumbledore is quite a lot older than 16, and he doesn't think Stan should be in Azkaban either, said Harry. You're making Stan a scapegoat, just like you want to make me a mascot. They looked at each other long and hard. Finally, Scrimgeour said, with no pretense at warmth, I see. You prefer, like your hero Dumbledore, to disassociate yourself from the ministry. I don't want to be used, said Harry. Some would say it's your duty to be used by the ministry. Yeah, and others might say it's your duty to check that people really are Death Eaters before you chuck them in prison, said Harry, his temper rising now. You're doing what Barty Crouch did. You never get it right, you people, do you? Either we've got Fudge pretending everything's lovely while people get murdered right under his nose, or we've got you chucking the wrong people into jail trying to pretend you've got the Chosen One working for you. So you're not the Chosen One? Said Scrimgeour. I thought you said it didn't matter either way, said Harry, with a bitter laugh. Not to you, anyway. I shouldn't have said that, said Scrimgeour quickly. It was tactless. No, it was honest, said Harry. One of the only honest things you said to me. You don't care whether I live or die, but you do care that I help you convince everyone that you're winning the war against Voldemort. I haven't forgotten, Minister. He raised his right fist. There, shining white on the back of his cold hand, were the scars which Dolores Umbridge had forced him to carve into his own flesh. I must not tell lies. I don't remember you rushing to my defense when I was trying to tell everyone Voldemort was back. The ministry wasn't so keen to be pals last year. They stood in silence as icy as the ground beneath their feet. The gnome had finally managed to extricate his worm, and was now sucking on it happily, leaning against the bottommost branches of the rhododendron bush. What is Dumbledore up to? Said Scrimgeour brusquely. Where does he go when he's absent from Hogwarts? No idea, said Harry. And you wouldn't tell me if you knew, said Scrimgeour, would you? No, I wouldn't, said Harry. Well, then I shall have to see whether I can find out by other means. You can try, said Harry indifferently, but you seem cleverer than Fudge, so I'd have thought you'd have learned from his mistakes. He tried interfering at Hogwarts. You might have noticed he's not minister anymore, but Dumbledore is still headmaster. I'd leave Dumbledore alone if I were you. There was a long pause. Well, it is clear to me he's done a very good job on you, said Scrimgeour, his eyes cold and hard behind his wire-rimmed glasses. Dumbledore's man through and through, aren't you, Potter? Yeah, I am, said Harry, glad we straightened that out. And turning his back on the Minister of Magic, he strode back toward the house. And that's the end of chapter 16. And next we'll read chapter 17 called A Sluggish Memory. Hope you like that, baby kitten. And it's definitely bedtime now. Sweet dreams. Good night, beautiful.